Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Mark, the 16th chapter. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." They went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Set in stone, solid as a rock. These are the expressions we use to convey the hard, factual, final, stone-cold realities of the world that just can't be changed. What is built of great stone blocks lasts for centuries. Even when they topple, the ruins last. Of course, there's one stone that everyone has to buy at least once, sooner or later, the tombstone, the memorial that will outlast all of us in the cemetery, cold, final, solid. When the women went to the tomb, it is the rock that they had on their minds as they looked down at their feet. Maybe their cell phones. Who's going to roll away the stone for us from the tomb? What could be more imposing? Maybe only what they'd seen that week, their Lord crucified. They alone watched from a distance while the men in their company, those sorry disciples of Jesus, were not even strong enough to view it at all. Or maybe it was rather that they, women, were so insignificant to everyone that unlike the men, they wouldn't be targeted like Jesus had just been. So this stone slams everything shut. It drives home to them their insignificance. That great stone was rolled into place, obscuring the body of the one that they thought was to be the Christ. And then looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. Now, Mark's gospel doesn't mention the earthquake. It doesn't mention the guards. Those are long gone. Doesn't even mention the shroud and the napkin folded neatly. But it mentions that stone. The immovable has been moved. And then Mark's gospel notices this. It was very large. So large that no woman, likely no single man, could have moved it no matter how strong they were. But something far more rock solid is also changed. Death is undone. Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Now sure, with skill, with dynamite, we can deal with rock and stone. We can carve monuments, build churches, mark our graves. Christ actually made even shorter work of it, it seems. He passed through the stone as if he couldn't even be bothered by it. Matthew says that an angel came to roll the stone back because somebody needed to reveal that it was already empty. But death, far more rigid than rock, more stubborn than stone. We can only postpone that. We cannot prevent it. We have never yet reversed it. We cannot laugh at it or pass through it like Jesus has. For who has ever raised himself from the dead? At this news and this sight, the women are alarmed. They do not tell anyone, at least not at first. What power, what wonder, what an impossibility is this that a tomb would become unnecessary? Christ bypassed it in glorious demonstration of the greater truth, more rock solid than any other that all of us must take to heart now. Death cannot contain him. Now, this is a staggering truth. It's openly mocked by some, those whose only love and hope are in this world, for whom death is like a finish line. But it is rightly to be feared, even by Christians. Job, in his misery, was compelled fearfully to ponder it, saying, I know that my Redeemer lives. Not only that, he will stand at the last day, and I too shall see God in my own flesh. Christ will undo death's effects on everyone. The whole world of people will arise, alive, renewed, standing again at the last day. And the thought of that, rising to come face to face with God. Job says, my heart faints within me. Christ's resurrection brings both fear and joy. Fear because all must know and acknowledge that he is God. My life also must change. I cannot live as if he did not exist or did not matter, as if I mattered most. But it also brings blessed joy, dear Christians, because the message from the angel is not the God who laughs at the solidity of rocks and death is out to get you. No, it is that he is risen just as he said to meet you. Do not be afraid. He has overcome not only the very large stone of the tomb, the rock-solid certainty of death, but also the stubborn hardness of the sinful human heart. That, too, is a fearfully amazing feat. Christ was crucified for our sins, offered as the willing sacrifice, facing the rock-melting wrath of God in your place and in mine. And now, as St. Paul writes, he is raised again for our justification. The Father has accepted this sacrifice. He's vindicated his Son, and he has redeemed those who trust in that Son also. And Christ is, as we sing in our responsory all Easter long, only the first fruits, the firstborn from the dead. Your Redeemer lives. Now, such a gospel as this needs to be kept and preserved and displayed. Job could think of no firmer and sturdier medium than an iron pen and lead engraving this gospel into rock. Forever, right? But in the end, there is something that lasts even longer than that, into which this gospel must be written also, into your hearts, into your faith, into you, body and soul. For when the gospel, when the water of holy baptism, when the body and blood of this risen Christ permeate into a person, Christ does just as he did outside Jerusalem. He overcomes death. He outlasts stone. Whoever keeps my word, Jesus says, will never taste death, and I will raise you up at the last day. In Christ, dear Christians, you will outlast rock and stone, even the gravestones that you leave behind to preach the gospel to your grandchildren, and to anyone who might happen to pass by. None of these will be so everlasting as you will be in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the congregations of the Rocky Mountain District and their pastors, together with all schools, teachers, and church workers. We also pray for the Reverend Carl and Chenshi Hansen, who serve the Lord in South Korea. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.